going on, everybody? We're back for take number two. This is All Gas, No Trash, a brand new episode. I'm Josh. He's Adam.
Yes, hello. I'm going to let Josh take over for the next 30 seconds because otherwise I'm going to fumble the bag and I'm going to say something stupid.
And then we're going to have to restart over.
We're going to restart
so,
over.
So this is, as is per usual, this is the All Gas, No Trash, No Curse Minute, sponsored by Game Rage Magazine and Josh's Ginger Superiority. So we would like to take this time to thank all the gingers out there. Thank Game Rage Magazine. And just say, hey, we're not going to curse so we don't get, you know, dumped in the algorithm, per se.
Now we can cut loose.
All right, now it's been a minute. All thank Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, so today we have a great episode for you guys. Adam went to the Chan Pan?
Yeah, so it was
Chan Pan and Jelly Haha show.
Yeah, Chan Pan was the headliner. a band from New York that this would technically be the first time that they're headlining, but they have previously played in Los Angeles. They opened for somebody else. They played at the Echoplex, I think last year. And Jelly Haha, fresh off of coming from the Tree Fort Festival. So this is her first appearance since playing the Tree Fort Festival. And so I went out to the show. Shit, man. Is there anything we should be doing? I feel like we're forgetting something.
I don't know. What did we forget to do something?
I don't know. Should we talk about the fucking comment that somebody had written for?
Oh yeah, let's do that, because that's all right. That was like an inside joke, but I guess we could talk about it.
Yeah, because
So someone go. You want to just read it? Just because I think it's funny.
Oh yeah, you can go ahead and read it.
I'll read it.
Yeah,
since I'm obviously the reason why this comment was fucking put on there.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was.
So someone wrote, "Wow." Y'all bombed before you even got to talking about the album. Y'all kind of sound like assholes and a bit racist, too. I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. Maybe watch interviews with them or something before you make a bunch of judgments and act like your opinions even matter. Y'all sound like idiots. Boo. Throwing Rotten Tomatoes at y'all. Not even worth finishing listening to you clowns. Grow up. Well, Goth Galactica on YouTube. Thank you. Thank you for, I love Rotten Tomatoes all over my body. I'm just rubbing them in. Oh, God, you know what's really good for your skin? All those antioxidants in the tomato skins, especially when they start fermenting as they're rotten. And I'll say this, you dumb bitch. If you fucking think that me promoting gingers is racist, then you need to go fuck yourself, okay? Because as a ginger, I'm fucking ginger. I can say that shit, all right? And I've been fucking persecuted my entire fucking life for being ginger.
That's our word.
Yeah. First of all, you ever heard of National Kick a Ginger Day? Yeah, of course you have. And have you kicked gingers on it? More than likely. Yeah, thanks, South Park. Listen, I love those guys, but fuck you guys, all right, for doing that to me. Yeah, growing up with National Kick a Ginger Day, that shit sucks, all right? So if I want to sit here and talk about how gingers are the master race because we've survived, then you know what? I can, and I will, okay? And also, thanks for your support. Because you gave us an extra view and a comment. Goddamn. Wasn't worth finishing the episode, but was worth it to write a PhD-level dissertation on why we're assholes. And, again, yes, we're assholes. Is me being facetious about gingers racist? I would say that's a bit of a fucking stretch. But, okay, whatever. Don't listen to us then. Don't fucking listen. Galactica Goth or whatever the fuck your name is. Why don't you get a new gimmick, you dumb fuck? Why don't you quit fucking using shit that's from 2000 fucking one? All right. Gothism is dead. All right. It's over. Get the fuck out of here.
It's Jover.
Anyways. Did you have anything to say about it?
I guess the only thing really to say is, unlike other platforms or other podcasts, we invite the First Amendment. You're free to say whatever the fuck you want. I mean, we're not going to delete your comment. We're not going to do anything like that. Appreciate you writing a comment. And that's all I got to really say is that what?
I have one more thing to add.
What's that?
If you want to listen and hear about real racism, go listen to No Party Preference, our other podcast about politics. All right. Go listen to that.
All right.
And then come back to me.
So now we're going to dive into the nitty gritty of the Jelly Haha show. A bit of an oddity to put it at a bit of an oddity to put it at the Silver Lake Lounge. One, because the spot is super small, and I feel like Chan Pan is kind of they're big enough to sell out like a place like the Moroccan Lounge. It's probably like 90 additional or yeah, 90 or 80 additional people that you can fit in a venue. So probably like 250 people or so. This place, the Silver Lake Lounge, can fit 176 people within the bar. Mm. And it's just a pain in the ass to fucking get there. The lighting sucks. The fucking sound is not all that great unless you're like music is completely unless it's like you're backtracked.
Oh, most, you mean like there's like a like the backing track is playing?
Yeah, the backing track, like it's if you have that, I think you'll be all right. But when it comes to like live sound, it's kind of eh. But yeah, I just don't like fucking going there because of the fact that it's small. The lighting, the sound, and then it's also a pain in the ass to fucking park there. So I get there early, and as usual, because I am a fucking psychopath, yeah. I usually show up as the first person. So
what time did you get there?
Shit, what time did I get there? I think it was like, I was there relatively early. I think I got there at like 6:10 because I was trying to.
The show starts at 8:30.
Yes, and the first band didn't even go on until I think like 9 or some shit like that.
So a full basically 3 hours before the beginning of the show.
Yeah, but you know what was cool is that I talked to the security guard and he's like, I'm like, hey, is it cool if I come in right now? Because I don't want to stand outside for 3 hours. He's like, yeah, but I'm going to kick you out like in probably at 8 so I can check your ticket and your ID and got to have everybody step outside. So luckily, I ended up just watching Golden State Warriors and fucking the Rockets play against each other for a hot minute until the show actually started. So eventually the show rolls around and I meet this dude that's like standing next to me that does photography. And I think he was there to cover Chan Pan because he was doing photography for them. So we were just kind of talking about bands and it's funny because we were talking about Zamia and he already knows about them. And I'm like, oh, because I don't really know to what extent like he's involved with music, but I think he's more of the South. I guess the greater Asia like area. He kind of likes following bands from that particular area. And not that Chan Pan is from there, but the members are South Korean and one of them's from Myanmar. And yeah, so it's of interest to him. And then we're talking about Zamia, which was cool. And then this woman was kind of like hovering around the stage. And I forgot how we kind of struck a conversation with her, but her name is Taylor Nicholson. And dude, she was really fucking interesting. So she is the set. She does set production and she did it for Ginger Root.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
What are the fucking odds, man?
Yeah. So we just had like a full on fucking conversation. And well, we were talking about like Jelly Haha and Ginger Root. And I was just kind of like poking and prodding and shit. So, I mean, I don't even know where to start. So you kind of like need to pull it out of me.
All right. So you're talking to this lady. How do you approach this lady and how do you even get into a conversation with her?
I think because she was like setting up, not that she was doing this with the, like this was her primary motive or anything. But she was setting up cameras to record Jelly Haha. And I don't remember at what point the conversation came up that she was doing like set production, not for this specific show, but like for the music video for Bounce House.
She was in the Batman fucking
all right house. So damn, I don't know if I should say something because it slightly ruins the fun about the music video, so I'm gonna stick with the lie. Yeah, but I'll tell you after the show. But so I did find out about that specific music video that they shot it in a day.
Okay.
Yeah, so then
our theory about, okay, well, they had to spend at least this certain amount of money.
It was one day.
Yeah. All right.
So that's pretty damn impressive considering that the music video is, to my knowledge, and from what she said, the music video was done in one take. Like, that's fucking crazy. That's like Birdman shit. Though. I don't know if you ever saw that movie with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Birdman. Yeah.
It was all done in one take. So that means, like, with all the choreography and all that shit, they must have planned that shit. So I asked her, I'm like, how far in advance did you guys, like, plan that shit out? And I can't remember exactly what you said, but it's like they had to basically know everything they were doing prior to even doing the music video or whatever. But so then she was telling me about her relationship with the David Gattell, the guy that's the creative director for the music video for Bounce House, but also pretty much everything that was done with Ginger Root for Shin Bangumi. Yeah, she had worked in set production, so like all the set pieces and shit, like she helped with all that. And so it's kind of crazy to hear her say that, because I didn't know this. There's no other way to find this out unless you talk to the person directly.
Yeah.
She was saying that her and David Gattell are friends from like back all the way in high school. And I'm not sure if that includes Ginger Root, but at least for the people that she works with directly, like these are people that she has worked with basically since. And judging by the fact she's probably in her, you know, mid 20s and probably maybe closer to her 30s. I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but that's like 10 plus years of working with people in creativity, like anything that's creative. That's fucking crazy, man. Like this isn't just people being assigned to a job and doing that shit. Like that's fucking people grinding with one another and then like putting your friends on like, hey, I know this person. It's fucking great. And I think she said she did like music videos for fucking. I think she's been involved in major music videos. I'm not sure if she said Nicki Minaj. I can't remember if she was involved with something that like some Nicki Minaj video. So, yeah, dude, it turned into a full like lengthy fucking conversation about her, how she's been involved with the project. And it looked like she was at Coachella. Cause I was like, oh, do you have like an Instagram I can follow you on? And she showed me your fucking Instagram. So yeah, Shin Bangumi, man, involved with Ginger Root, involved with fucking Jelly Haha and this other band called Pearl and the Oysters that we were talking about previously. Cause they were, they used to be part of Field Trip Records. Now they're part of Stones though. Like she's involved with fucking that project. So she's quite the busy gal, I guess you could say. So should I get to the Jelly Haha business?
Well, now you got her Instagram contact info. This sounds like a lady that would probably be pretty good to fucking talk to on an interview. I don't think she'd be down, but you know.
Yeah, you know, like I think we had a pretty good conversation, but dude, I do not have high hopes for fucking asking anybody for an interview. Like I'm just so, I already asked one person and I know that doesn't sound like a lot, especially because we haven't been doing it in recent memory where we've been contacting people to do interviews and shit, but man, knowing our luck, we're not going to get it. Like, even though I had a great conversation with her and I tell her, hey, we would love to do an interview with her or we would love to do an interview with you. The moment we ask, hey, can you sign a release?
Oh, I don't want that. No, I can't do that.
I'm tired of that shit. So it's unless people want to come to us.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless people want to come out to us and.
All right. So this was all before anybody even went on.
Right. So, we were talking for a hot minute and I hope I'm not forgetting any details that were discussed. But so. The first band, the first artist goes on, and it's this girl that's doing like drum and bass music with rap and stuff. And her name is Sydney C. Not to say that she was bad or anything. And no, she was pretty decent. But, you know, we were there. I was there with a motive to see Jelly Haha. And everybody did like a 20-30 minute set. So that started around 9 o'clock. So she hopped on stage and did her thing and it was all right. But then Jelly Haha comes on, man. What a fucking spectacle. What a revelation for a lot of people that went to that show with the intention of seeing Chan Pan as the fucking headliner. It's so fucking cool, dude. Like there's this girl that hops on stage and she's standing next to this synthesizer, and there's like this fucking box thing, and there's all these like plugs, these wires that are going into it. I imagine it's like a, I don't know what it's actually called. It's like a beat machine, but like you do different inputs, and depending on like how you arrange it, you get different sounds coming out. She was fucking with that, and then the fucking thing started actually playing music, and then she would play her fucking synthesizer, and then Jelly Haha comes out of the fucking out of the crowd and hops onto the stage, and then she's got her two like dancers with her that you know what this fucking project reminds me of in to some degree? It's a very weird comparison, but do you remember that anime called Elfin Lied?
Yeah.
She
the opening episode of that anime, this girl breaks out of this fucking like government facility that's right. A jail, and she murders everyone, and she walks out covered in blood.
Right. Yeah.
So you're saying it reminds you of that?
Yeah, because if you guys have been paying attention to what's been happening with Jelly Haha's Instagram account, she wiped out her grid on Instagram. So she posted this wanted poster that says Jelly Haha wanted or some shit like that, wanted by the Jelly Co. So it's there is this other clip that she posts of herself, and it's done in like this doom pixel art. And it's the two dancers, and they're like, oh, if you see Jelly Haha on the loose, like you got to hit her in the midsection or something, like you got to bonk her so you could subdue her. So I don't know. It kind of gives me like Elfin Lied kind of vibes, where there's like this girl that is manic or weird or whatever, and she's on the loose. So she comes out of the crowd, and she hops on stage, and they're doing all this choreographed dancing and shit, and it's fucking great. Like, and then she also has two flute players. She's got a drummer, and then you got the person with the synthesizer and the analog machine, and it's a full ensemble. I didn't think they were going to be able to fit the whole goddamn band within that small space of the Silver Lake Lounge, but they fucking did it. They made it work. Pretty legit. And dude, I think this without a doubt, this is the story to be covered in fucking Los Angeles. Like, if there was any band that people should be watching, if there was any project that people should be watching, they got to go see Jelly Haha before she fucking skyrockets, because this shit was off the chain, man. Like, I heard a whole bunch of fucking new music. At one point, she breaks. You remember those things in grade school? It was basically like a giant sheet, right? But it had like the circle pattern, like a rainbow circle pattern, and you would put balls on top of it, and then you like
wing it.
So she pokes her head at some point. I think it was like the second song or something. She pokes her head through the center of the sheet, right? And she starts erecting upwards, and there's the two dancers underneath, and like they start doing this arm wave thing. It's all choreographed dancing, right? I'm like, oh, holy shit. And and then she does Bounce House. And I think a lot of people were like, oh, I know that song. Or what are you? And I think a lot of people were won over or whatever. But there was like set pieces. There was like cubes. There was boxing gloves. There was all the shit that was set up. And eventually it comes into play later where she has like these dolphin balloons that she just starts throwing into the crowd. And she has like Pringles cans with like shit that would just, you know, like those fake peanut cans that have like the snake come out. So her dancers and herself, they all pop one off, and one of them shoots confetti. One of them was like shoots that spring loaded like snake thing. And shit, man. What else am I forgetting? So she does Bounce House or whatever. She's got the trampolines and shit. Like, it was her and the dancers. And what else was there? And then she breaks out a fucking a bubble gun, like a like an electronic bubble machine, and she just starts spraying the fucking crowd. Oh my goddamn, dude. When you talk about somebody that creates a memorable set from start to finish, Like, I remember going back home and literally watching the entire thing again after the fact that I just had seen it. And like, every piece of it is fucking memorable. And this isn't a shot to be made at the opening artist that performed before Jelly Haha or even after when Chanpan hops on stage. But, dude, I was so fucking captivated by what was going on that... This is the thing, dude. This is the thing that I think is going to catch on rather quickly. I think you could scale this to being a festival level act where, dude, she may only have two dancers, but imagine what she could do if she was given the appropriate budget to go to Coachella and have like 10 additional dancers that were all doing what they basically have already been doing. She gets like three additional flute players. She has like the synthesizer person with like a bigger setup. Oh man, it's like you could just tell like this is made for better things. Like this is made for bigger stages, and we're seeing it in its fucking infancy. And yeah, I can't believe seeing that project in person, man. Like this is the thing to see in Los Angeles. If you ever get a chance, like you got to do it now, because once I think people start catching on, man, you may pay $30 to go see her at one point. Like I pay 20 because it's way too early, but yeah.
Would you say that, would you think it's a fair thing to say that she upstaged Chanpan?
Yes, easily. For sure? I think because even watching Chanpan, and this isn't a shot at them or anything like that. I think they're a great band. Their music's awesome. It's like D&B, you know, drum and bass, house music with like jazz chords and like jazzy vocals, right? It's all good and everything, but it almost like kind of failed in comparison to what Jelly Haha was doing with the choreographed dancing, the set pieces, all the fun stuff that people got to interact with like the dolphin balloons and the bubbles and all the crazy shit. And, you know, at some point they were going into the crowd and interacting with the crowd. I think Jelly Haha was the revelation for a lot of people, and I'm sure they'll be following the project and seeing what's happening. Hopefully they fucking tune into this fucking episode.
Oh yeah, true. I will say this. I don't think that Jelly Haha is an opening or a middling act with this stuff. Cause I mean, I was unable to go, but I watched the stuff that, you know, you posted some of the things or whatever.
Yeah.
And I will say, man, that is not a fucking opening. That's not a middle. That's a fucking headlining. That act alone.
Yeah.
That's headlining material already out the gate. And honestly, I do. And maybe, and I don't want to say that it's bad booking in the sense that like, cause you didn't know, right? This is like really her first real kind of like deal with this shit, right?
Yeah, it's like wrestling. It's like you're protecting what would probably be your headliner.
Well, you don't
without actually doing it.
Well, you don't know where she's gonna fall. Like, you don't know if this is gonna fall flat. You don't know if this shit's gonna work or it's not. So now that you see this and you're like, okay, holy shit, she just completely upstaged fucking the headliner.
Yeah, it's, dude, it was a hard act to follow.
Yeah, now you gotta go on last.
Yeah.
Like, she just went from the Intercontinental belt to the fucking world title. Like, she just won the Royal Rumble right now,
she's
right?
She's Bron Breakker.
Yeah, exactly. And, I think that's what we're gonna see. I think the next show she does is she's the headliner.
Yeah, so now, after having seen her perform in person for the first time, it's making me wonder about where she's going to play for her debut album release show. Because talking about, and this, I hate saying this because it is what it is, I can't see her playing at Make Out Music, and I know they have some kind of relationship. I don't know what it is technically. Like, I don't know to what extent they, because Make Out Music was one of the promoters, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So they're involved somehow, and they were even involved when she played at Permanent Records, which was the first technical show post the single being released. So that was sometime in April, right? They're involved somehow, but I also, she's going to have to go through their system at some point where they're going to say she was an alumni. I think she's going to have to play there, but I don't think she should be doing the album release show there, because if they want to protect her with lighting and sound, that place does not fucking have it. Like, I would say stay away from makeout music. I think for sure, like, what I would love personally is for her to play at Moroccan Lounge, which is a place like just off the 101 freeway. I think that's like a perfect spot that could fit like 250 plus people, has good sound, has good lighting, not Golden Voice, not fucking Live Nation. And I think it'd be a good deal for her. But judging by the fact of how quickly this is being covered and how receptive people are to it, I think there's a good chance that Golden Voice and Live Nation are probably going to try to get dibs on it. They're, for her debut album release, because they're going to want this.
Yeah.
They're going to want this. I think it's going to end up at the Echoplex for Live Nation, or it could end up at the Roxy for Golden Voice. I think there's a good chance that that might happen with their debut album release. And that's with the fact that there's like a little less than, how close are we to the end of April? Or is it the 24th?
I mean, it's basically the end of the month. I mean,
we so got a she week. Has basically what, like two, like 10 weeks to, I might be wrong on that. Let's just say she has somewhere around a month and a half to 2 months to build enough buzz for herself to possibly end up at a Golden Voice fucking venue or even a Live Nation venue. Cause I,
the album's coming out in what, July?
Yeah, July June 28th. Oh, June, I think. Okay, June, right. Or June 27th or June 28th.
All right, all right. So, I mean, I don't know, man. And also, whether anyone wants us to talk about this or not, I don't really give a shit because honestly, this should be the headline. What a great fucking story this is to go from basically being Angel Abaya and not getting used and being fucking screwed over. To or whatever.
Whatever the case may be.
Whatever the case was, didn't fucking work. And then coming in and becoming Jelly Haha and becoming this fucking spectacle.
Yeah.
I mean, what a fucking great story that is. And fuck, man, that's like a great comeback story. Like, everybody loves to hear that shit.
Yeah, dude. I mean, because how many artists go through different gimmicks before they hit the one that actually works? And, you know, to get it on your second try where maybe, whether it was the record label or herself that couldn't get themselves over or.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think that a lot of artists do have multi-gimmick transformations. I think after the first one doesn't work, they get written off and they're done. And this is like another anomaly of the thing is that her talent level is just so fucking high that you can't. It's again. It's becoming undeniable, all right?
It is.
She is clearly undeniable because you can take a shitty gimmick and yeah, hey, maybe it didn't work for whatever reason, but if you go on to something different, someone has to give you the backing in the music industry to be able to get to do it again, right?
Yeah.
And someone, they believed in her because again, they saw the talent level, the base talent level that's there and said, "Oh, cool. We can do something with this. Let's give a second chance. Let's breathe a second life into this artist and make her something completely different."
Yeah, I think having talked to that girl, Taylor Nicholson, I believe her name is, because I was asking her, I'm like, hey, so like how long were you involved with the project beforehand? Before, you know,
yeah,
she's saying December she got involved with the project. And I'm assuming that David Gatel guy was also, that was kind of around the time that they started getting involved or
yeah,
and shit. So for to have people that are associated with Ginger Root be like a stamp of approval, at least to me.
Man. That's cool, man. That's so cool.
That's like that's telling. That's very telling that somebody, cause I'm like, hey, so what happened? Like how did what it made what stood out to you? And she's like, oh, I like the music, it's just, I don't know how to describe it, but it like it, as much as I was saying that it was something that reminded me of like Ginger Root in terms of like creativity, like she kind of saw it that way too. She's like, yeah, this is something I want to be involved with. And
goddamn, I'm so excited for this album to come out, man. Yeah. Like I cannot fucking wait.
Yeah.
To fucking review this album at the end of June.
Yeah. It's, I think this is going to be a home run. Like I can already tell just by hearing the five or six songs that have already been featured in her set. Yeah, this thing's going to be a banger for sure. And yeah, dude, that Deluxe guy was there. He was like the audio engineer making sure that she didn't sound like shit, even though they already,
I mean, there's nothing you can do. The venue sucks.
No, I mean, yeah, I guess, but he made it work. But at some point they did have technical difficulties where the backing track was like cutting out, or like that analog machine would like cut out every 5 seconds or something. But then eventually, like by the third song, it was kind of like a non-issue. So I think he was there for an insurance policy to make her sound as good as she needed to be. And man, what it's I can't stress it enough to see that project from like this, basically the start, man. I wasn't there at Permanent Records, but for her first show back since Treefort Festival, dude, like she has my fucking undying allegiance at this moment, because as I said before, this is the story of the year for Los Angeles in terms of music. Like, we don't know how long it's going to take for her to basically tour the entire US, and fuck, I don't know how long it's going to take her for to be at Coachella. It may be like, I think it's going to take less than 3 years. And I actually think it's going to be maybe next year that she'll fucking end up there. I think she might end up at this place called Viva Pomona Fest because somebody's going to hear about her, which is like, it's not a precursor, but bands that end up playing that, like the person that runs Viva Pomona Fest, he's involved with Coachella. He runs the Sonora stage, right? So if she ends up there, I think there's a very good fucking chance that she's going to end up at Coachella maybe by next year. And at worst case, I think it's going to take 3 years. I think it's guaranteed she's going to end up there without a doubt.
Yeah, that's believable.
Yeah,
that's believable.
And I don't want to like take away from Chan Pan or anything like that. The band was fucking great. Yeah. They were awesome and everything. And yeah, that was their first headliner. But man, Jelly Haha, that was the story of the night.
Stole the show.
Stole the fucking show. I don't have anything bad to say about Jelly Haha. I mean, not that I would ever have anything bad to say about her to begin with, unless she doesn't do a fucking interview with us at some point. But
hey, maybe she'll become sworn enemy of the podcast.
A sworn, hey, dude. Hey, we do it with love.
That's true.
We, you know, it's more for poking fun at our artists because you guys are kind of fucking dickheads. I mean, you are. I'm not gonna lie. Hey, like, listen, you guys big time us all the time. Yeah. So it's like,
we're also dickheads too. So don't think we're not like, you know, we're not.
It's a mutually beneficial thing.
Yeah.
You know, you get buzz out of it and we get to shit talk you sometimes.
Yeah.
But we also build you up. So, you know, it works out for both of us.
Yeah. Just remember, it's just like wrestling. All right. Everyone, you want to be the big time, you got to have a big time heel to fucking help you come up on the way. All
right. Right. So, you know,
it's our job.
Controversy creates cash. And, you know, we're hopefully building more buzz for Jelly Haha. But I don't have anything bad to say because this shit was a fucking grand slam. This was out of the park. Awesome. I can't say enough good things. Spend your fucking money on Jelly Haha. When she has merchandise, go buy it. Go buy the vinyl. Follow her on Instagram. Do all the things. Do all the things. Make sure you go see her on her next set, her next show. Because as I said before, it's going to be rather quick that you're going to be paying $30, $40 to go see her perform. So get it while it's hot.
Hey, we got to get, when the album comes out, we got to get the vinyl. And then we got to get her to
sign it. It might be sold out already. Because
you think so?
We'll see. Yeah, look it up. It's on Bandcamp.
We also got to get it signed. All right. Like,
yeah,
at some point. Anyways. All right. You got anything else?
No. Jelly Haha number one.
Yeah. yep. Jelly Haha number one. You heard it here first. All right. So that'll be the end. Go check out all other shit if you want. And if you don't, go fuck yourselves. Oh, also, make sure you comment about how we're racist, because Adam said Jelly Haha number one, all right?